Hi, I'm Gabby Leva-Stein, and I'm going to present on a very similar topic to what Michelle just presented, because we were really interested in understanding some of these longitudinal effects of working alliance and patient-provider communication. And one of the things that we really had was this really diverse sample that we really wanted to understand what was the natural growth in these kind of variables, these therapeutic variables, over time. So again, we have no relationships to disclose. So Michelle already talked a little bit about the ingredients of a good therapeutic relationship. Working alliance, as she talked about, is defined as the agreement between a patient and provider on treatment goals. So what are they going to work on? Symptom reduction, conflict management with your spouse, whatever that might be. But additionally, how do you get to that? So is it through medication, through skills training? What is it that's happening? And additionally, it is also comprised of an attachment bond that exists between the provider and the patient. So do they have faith in one another? Are they working together collaboratively on these goals and tasks? In addition, patient-provider communication is another aspect of the therapeutic relationship which is distinct. And it really is the ability that they have to convey information to one another. So how comfortable does a patient feel disclosing things to their provider? But additionally, how well does that patient understand what the provider is trying to tell them? So we were really interested in understanding these two pieces, in part because we know that these two aspects of the therapeutic relationship predict outcomes. Working alliance has been associated with symptom reduction, greater attendance in treatment, as well as treatment completion. Good patient-provider communication has been associated with medication adherence to antidepressants, as well as the better course of symptom reduction over time. So, and although we know that these aspects of the therapeutic relationship are really important to good care, there are healthcare disparities that exist in it. So past research has shown that African American and Latino patients tend to report worse patient-provider communication when compared to non-Latino whites. Similarly, African American and Latino patients tend to report poorer working alliance compared to non-Latino whites. And I will say that the majority of this research, there typically isn't an ethnic match between the provider and the patient. The self-report data is backed up by observational studies that have examined and audiotaped conversations between providers and patients and have found that African-American and Latino patients and their providers, so both, have worse patient-provider communication in these observational studies compared to non-Latino whites. So in terms of the information that's disclosed by the provider, what's disclosed by the patient, there are these significant differences. However, very few studies have examined the therapeutic relationship over time, and so we know very little about the longitudinal course of these, particularly in a diverse sample. There is one past study that has looked at this, and this should be 2011, but Walling et al. Found that African American and Latino males who were attending an intimate partner violence intervention did not show similar increases as non-Latino whites in working alliance. So while for non-Latino white males who were enrolled in this intervention, they saw this increase in their working alliance with their therapist, the disparities that they found were that the African American and Latino males didn't show this similar increase. So it really points to the fact that we really want to understand these ethnic differences longitudinally to really capture where that health disparity really lies. Additionally, one of the things that Nick shared earlier is that we did have both types of providers, people who were providing therapy and people who were also providing medication. And one of the things that we didn't really know or isn't really clear in the literature is, are there differences in working alliance or the pattern of working alliance and patient-provider communication by these different provider types? So the majority of this research has looked at primary care providers. And we had a couple reasons to suspect that these may look different. Therapy typically is more frequent, either weekly or biweekly, and it's a longer duration of an appointment, typically 50 minutes. And on the other hand, medication management is typically less frequent, and it's typically a 30-minute appointment. So because there were these differences in these appointments, we thought that there may be differences in how patients' relationship with their providers developed in these two types of provider relationships. Additionally, we know that African American and Latino patients tend to have more stigma around medication and tend to prefer the talking therapies as opposed to medication. So we also thought that that would be an important thing to look at as well. So the current study examines the patterns of working alliance and patient-provider communication in the community mental health sample, particularly focused on the longitudinal patterns and looking at whether there were any differences in the patterns by provider type. So we also used the control group in this analysis because we did suspect that our activation would hopefully influence these variables, and so we didn't want to include that variability in the current analysis. So we really just wanted to understand the natural course of working alliance and patient-provider communication. So 318 completed the baseline interview, but we only included the Latino, Black, and non-Latino white patients because we had such a small sample of the other ethnicity. These participants were interviewed three times, an average of 107 days apart. And in terms of the providers that they had in this particular study, 55% of the control participants had both types of providers. So they both saw a therapy provider, whether it was a social worker or a psychologist or even a psychiatrist in that setting. And then they also had a medication provider, which could have been a nurse practitioner, a psychiatrist, a primary care provider that was providing psychiatric medication. 34% had only therapy providers, and 12% only had medication providers. So you heard a little bit about our measures, so I'm not going to talk too much about them. So we also used the Working Alliance short form and the communication subscale of the Kim Alliance scale. And we looked at changes over time in both Working Alliance, which is the WAY, and CAS scores, which is the patient-provider communication, using a mixed model analysis with repeated measure. Race and ethnicity was coded such that non-Latino whites serve as the reference group. And to test the race-ethnicity differences in the variables across time, we created interaction terms for each specific follow-up to see if there were differences across each time point. We did adjust for several covariates, age, gender, education, severity at baseline, and also veteran status. So some of our participants had been in treatment for a long time, as Nick alluded to. They'd been in psychoanalytic therapy for years and years, and some had just started in treatment. So veteran status was coded as 0-1, those who had been in treatment for longer than 6 months versus those who had not been in, who had been in treatment for less than 6 months when we interviewed them at baseline. So you saw some of these graphs on these tables already, so I'm going to say that our sample was primarily female, and you can also see that with Latinos, they tended to have much lower levels of education than the other two ethnic groups. The Latinos were also a very unique Latino sample in that the majority of them reported their comfort language as Spanish. They conducted their interviews in Spanish, so they were more comfortable speaking in Spanish. And the majority of them were born outside of the United States. So this is an immigrant, primarily Spanish-speaking Latino sample. And so we weren't able to look at whether there were differences for English-speaking Latinos versus native-born Latino or born in the U.S. Latinos to sort of examine that variability. Other things that you might want to know about our sample is that the majority, and I'm sorry that that scooted down, the majority of them were on public insurance, and the majority of them had been in treatment for more than 6 months when they started, so they were coded as having this veteran status. Most of them reported their severity as fair to good, so very few reported themselves as excellent or very good, and very few reported them as poor. When you look at just baseline at the scores of Working Alliance across time, you have the medication provider above and the therapy provider below. We did not find any significant ethnic differences in medication providers in Working Alliance, but we did find significant differences where Latinos reported greater Working Alliance compared to whites. And there were no differences for Blacks compared to whites. Additionally, in terms of communication with providers, we didn't see any differences for communication with medication providers, but we saw the similar pattern of results with Latino patients reporting better communication with their providers than whites and than non-Latino whites in our sample. Okay, doesn't want to go forward. Okay, so those were just raw differences without controlling for any of our covariates. When we entered our covariates in the models, and again, we're also showing a reduced model because that was a litany of things we tested for, so just trust us that we're testing for gender, age, education, severity, and veteran status. What we actually find is that, again, when we control for all these factors, Latinos report better working alliance than non-Latino blacks in both their relationship with their therapists and with their medication providers. But surprisingly to us, there were no differences over time in working alliance for either provider, and there were no ethnic differences either. There was a trend where African or Black participants demonstrated a slight increase, but that wasn't statistically significant. It was at the trend level of significance. So in terms of patient-provider communication, we saw similar results with Latinos reporting greater levels of communication with their therapy provider. However, we didn't see that same effect with their medication provider in our sample. No growth in patient-provider communication. And again, there were no significant ethnic differences in change over time. So really what we concluded from our analyses is that Latino patients in our sample reported greater working alliance and patient-provider communication with their therapists and greater working alliance with their medication provider at baseline, and these differences held over time. So this was not conformed to the majority of research, and we have some ideas as to why that is. In our sample, Blacks did not differ in the relationship variables compared to non-Latino whites, and there were no significant longitudinal changes at any group. So one of the things that we really think why we found these very different results is what's typically found in the literature is that the majority of our Latino patients actually had access to bilingual, culturally competent care. So if you see in our larger study, again, about 60% of the sample did not speak English as their primary language, but only 3 to 6% of them met with a provider who didn't speak in that primary language. So that means the majority of these Latino patients who spoke mostly Spanish were meeting with Spanish-speaking providers. And in fact, in another paper that we examined in the same sample, half of our clinics had more than 50% Spanish-speaking therapists available to their clients. So because the availability of diverse providers is associated with these better working alliance and communication, this really supports the need for workforce diversity and training providers in providing care in the language that that patients are speaking. We think that the Latino patients benefited from this linguistic and cultural match because in this culturally matched dyad, in terms of the language match, we believe that Latino values like personalismo and simpatía, which emphasize interpersonal harmony, promoted this positive therapeutic relationship. So Latinos come in wanting to have a good relationship with their provider, and if you meet at them in the language that they want to speak, they're able to sort of take advantage of that. So again, this suggests that therapists can cultivate these cultural values as a way to improve the therapeutic relationship. There are some limitations to our study. So again, even though we have this amazing sample of Latino participants, they were primarily born outside of the U.S. and Spanish-speaking, so we don't know what this would have looked like. So is there a sort of evidence of sort of an immigrant paradox here, that these are people who are more willing to have a positive relationship with their provider, and if we'd had second, third-generation Latinos, would they not have seen that same kind of good relationship variables that we saw? We didn't necessarily assess patients at the onset of a new treatment episode, so unlike that Walling study that saw them right at the start of their intervention, we didn't have the luxury to do that. We caught people wherever they were in treatment. I will say that we did do some sensitivity analyses with veteran status to see if our effects were different, if they were newer versus older patients, and we did not find any differences by that. And there was a smaller sample of Black patients that really might have limited our ability to detect effects for them. So perhaps that's why we didn't find those significant differences for Black patients in our particular sample. But overall, we really believe that the conclusion to make or to draw from this is that access to culturally competent care is probably really beneficial, as we all are probably preaching to the choir on that, in terms of getting patients to sort of make the best use of treatment. So thank you.